We're talking this, we're talking that.
Hey, what are we talking about, man?
We're talking sex, not fiction, just facts.
Oh, man.
The freaky hookups that you just had.
It's gonna be good.
This ain't the birds and bees from mom and dad.
Oh, here we go.
So, Kevin, didn't you get home from the bar last night? And he wants to get super geeky with me. What's up with that?
Hey, yo, Kevin, I'm really trying to drive the ladies wild. Can you tell me what to do? Can you give me some skills, please?
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hi, this is Sex Chat with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Cat Van Kirk, and I am here with my gay boyfriend, my man about town, Mr. Ross Martineau.
Hey there, Dr. Cat.
Hey there. So I'm a clinical sexologist, and my gay boyfriend here, Mr. Ross Martineau, pretty much just knows everything else about sex and the media and relationships, right?
Right, basically. What you're saying, it's a nice way of calling it a know-it-all.
Oh, we like Mr. Smarty Pants. Makes us happy. Uh-huh. But we are here, between the two of us, to answer all of your sex and relationship questions from each of our perspectives.
That's right. Want us to answer your questions? We will. You can call the Dr. Cat 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week listener line at 213-270-1968 or email us at sexchat@drcat.com.
That is right. So we have a few questions here for you today. And in addition to that, though, actually, I wanted to bring up the idea of porn in general. And
one of our favorite topics.
One of our favorite topics. And, you know, I get asked a lot about, you know, porn usage in my own household.
It sounds like you're digging through your dresser drawer. What are you going for there, Kat?
I'm looking. Can you tell? I'm exerting myself. I'm able to multitask, as you can probably imagine. So my lovely husband has a blog that he kind of keeps irregularly, right? The So I Married a Sexologist blog.
Okay, right.
I would like him to keep it more regularly, but, you know, life intervenes. And so,
like
any
my husband with fiber.
Oh, right, exactly. You could totally say that. And anyway, I've been telling him he should blog about this topic, and I know he's not going to get a chance to the next couple of weeks. So people wonder, being married to a sexologist or just being married to someone who talks about sex all the time,
right.
Basically, what kind of porn, you know, what's his interest in porn, you know?
Ah, where does his taste lie?
Yes, exactly. And I have to tell you, it's pretty funny. So it's basically, it comes down to bikes.
Bikes, okay. Like, did he get a hard-on for Lady Gaga's new album cover?
Oh, my God. Not that kind of bike. We're not even that cool.
Okay. What are we talking, like old-timey, like bicycle built for two, or
basically like little commuter bike. So we joke because he is spending all of his time, because he's in the market for a new bike, new family bikes. Actually, I've deferred my decision to him, but he spends hours and hours on the computer at night, illicitly looking at pictures of bikes.
Naked bikes, stripped down bikes.
It's true.
Bikes with big handles, thick spokes.
Right. And I just got him a gift certificate, but it was really funny. I made him his card for Father's Day, and I went and found really phallic looking pictures of bike parts.
Oh my God. And did you give him one with a really big basket?
Oh, the largest basket I could find. But anyway, I want to say that yes, the mundaneness of our household is he has access to all of this porn and all the sex stuff, and it
that
comes
could
down
be a new fetish.
It could be a new fetish. Kind of is greasing his spokes in the back corner. I don't know.
There you go.
but so anyway, now yes, every time I walk in on him, and he's getting off to his bike porn. He's greasing his chain. That is about the extent of his porn consumption at this point. So
I just thought I'd
throw that in there. But speaking of someone who probably has some more interesting proclivities regarding, well, at least sexting, our little friend Wiener.
Ah, Mr. Wiener. I mean, it's like it's so wrong on so many. I mean, just, you know, the name, right, or whatever. But
oh my God, it was predestined.
Damn it all! Couldn't he have been a Republican? That was my first thing.
It's like, I know the Democrats don't need that.
Yeah, you know, and it's whenever any of these sex stories, you know, break, my first thought is like, I hope they're a Republican.
Right. We hate to bring in the partisanship, but, you know, I have to admit I cringed a little bit, too. And not like I'm some diehard Democrat. It's just, you know.
Well, those goddamn conservatives, you know, the, you know, holier than thou. And they're all the ones that are, like, you know, tapping their foot in the men's room, you know, the some it's airport lounge.
True. It's true. And my whole issue with it, too, you know, the sexting thing, just not a good idea. This was all mostly breaking the last week when I was in New York. So there was a lot of, you know, back and forth around people. We were filming the infomercial and stuff around people in production who were talking about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And just people's perspectives on it and what was wrong with it and why so much of it was wrong with it. But really, I mean, the main thing is that, yeah, it wasn't smart with the whole 60 thing and the pictures and the, you know, showing pictures of his apparently large member in the congressional gym. Who knew?
I mean, what is that? I mean, are people that dumb that it's like you take a picture of your dick and you text it to someone? And, you know, it's going to be out there. I mean, you know, there's no question about it, especially if you're some, you know, quote unquote somebody. Or I mean, it's just right. So stupid.
Right. And he's tweeting this stuff. And here's the thing for all you folks out there. Twitter, if you tweet something, you no longer own it.
Well, if you send anything to the web, you no longer own it, really.
I mean, really, but the actual copyrights with Twitter, if you send a picture or anything like that, it's gone.
Oh,
you know?
Really? Okay, yep. I didn't know. The other thing that, you know, not that I want to, you know, promote using pictures, but, you know, if you go into anyone's Facebook page, you can basically click and drag anyone's picture to your desktop.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
You know, I mean, so if it's out there, if it's on the web, it better be something that you're proud of.
Right.
And I guess, there you go. I answered that question.
You totally did. Well, and that's part of my theory here is that I think ultimately he wanted to get caught. And I think obviously there are other issues going on. Anytime this sort of, you know, quote unquote cheating, right? Because we've talked about definitions of cheating before, happens, it's always a symptom that something else is going on. Now, the other issue is whether he's, you know, a sex addict.
Right. Do you think he's a sex addict?
No, I do not think he's a sex addict. I mean, they're very specific. Number one, you know, I have issues with sex addiction in general. It's not an addiction per se. It's not a compulsivity like other addictions are. You can't. It's not considered healthy to abstain
right.
from sex, you know, unlike alcohol or drugs. But also just for him, he just doesn't meet any of the criterion of it at all. And it has more to do. It sounds like he's a narcissist and very immature. Right. And egotistical. And I'm sorry, the second someone says, okay, well, I'm just going to go to rehab for it. That is just bullshit. You know, buzzword right. that people used to get out of it.
Well, and that's sort of the modern day contrition right now. You know, it's like, you know, you can do whatever the fuck you want and then you can just go to rehab and it's all better.
No, that's exactly it. In fact, that's funny that you even said that because I had said that it reminds me a lot of, you know, Catholic Church. You know, you can repent anything and then it's fine the next day.
exactly, right.
But good news in New York, I'm so bummed that I missed Gay Pride and the big announcement and everything.
Oh my God, that was so amazing. And what time, I'm you know, I wonder, I haven't read a lot of follow-up specifically, but I'm wondering if they waited specifically till the end, you know.
I know.
It was at the 12th hour on Friday, right, the eve of Gay Pride, and I'm wondering if they sort of did that on purpose, which I love. I mean, I just, you know, you hear the stories and you read these little stories about people having dinner and hearing about it in a restaurant and, you know, just starting to cry over their pasta and, you know, apparently the Pride was just over the top with, you know, I mean, obviously the energy must have been amazingly positive and lots of proposals here and there. And I actually had a couple of friends that do live in New York that I was following on Facebook, and in anticipation they had been, you know, scoping out their wedding spot in Central Park.
Aww.
And I just love it.
I love seeing on Facebook were the pictures of the Empire State Building all lit up in rainbow colors.
Yeah,
I was just really proud of New York, and just God, all the worse for freaking California. I'm like, what the fuck? get on the bandwagon and make stuff happen, because it seems so backward now.
Four words. I mean, you know, bring it on, California. But unfortunately, they've got, you know, the four words, right? It's two of them are Orange County, and the other two are Central Valley.
You got it.
It's like it can't get any redder than that.
People talk about the two different states of Northern and Southern California. It's really not so much of that. You're right. It's Central Valley and Orange County be their own little peninsula of sorts.
But you know, this is huge. You know, when a huge voting block like this, and you know, a huge demographic that you know is allowing gay marriage, it's you know, we're on the right track.
Right. Sooner or later. Absolutely. And everyone out there, too, you can go out and celebrate because it's also the end of Gay Pride Month. It just ended. And you can go out and celebrate by buying a new sex toy with Adam and Eve.
Woohoo.
You can go to adamandeve.com right now and you can get 50% off almost any item, plus a free mystery gift and free shipping off your entire order when you use the code DRKAT at checkout. That's DRKAT. Okay. And first question, Ross, roll it on out.
Yes, we have a question from Anthony, and apparently Anthony likes it rough. He is wondering if we have any suggestions for rougher sex. He says, my girlfriend loves to be dominated, but I'm always afraid of going, quote, too rough. We're not into hitting or anything weird, but she just loves submission in general when I do things like hold her hands down. Mm-hmm. What are some ways I can turn up the aggression and still keep it classy? Well, a tuxedo.
Right. You know? I think the word classy thrown in there is really funny.
Right, exactly. So that's my first thought. It's like, okay, and you can do a little role play. You can be James Bond and she can be Pussy Galore.
Right. You know? It's class it up, baby.
Pin her down, throw a martini in her face, and drive her to Portland.
Right, exactly. No, I get the gist, Anthony, so thank you very much. And I just very much appreciate the term classy. So here's the thing. S&M, people, sadomasochism, people get freaked out by that term because they automatically get this picture in their mind of the most extreme thing they can think of, right?
Exactly. Shove a hot poker up my ass.
Right. And consensually. And all of this we're assuming we know is consensually. Anyway, but there's this whole spectrum that people don't realize, you know, and I originally had seen some research where it's something like seven people out of 10 has some sort of even mild SM themes in their fantasy life. So whether that's the holding the hands down or whether that's some spanking or just kind of very assertive.
Right. Yes. The whole sub-dom thing, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to be painful per se. Right. I mean, and you know, to be classy, okay, how about mink handcuffs? That's kind of classy, you know?
Good call.
You know, one thing, obviously, when you do any sort of, you know, sub-dom play or anything that might get, you know, quote unquote, I mean, not rough, but you want to have a safe word.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
That one word, you know, Venezuela or, you know, whatever.
Kumquat.
Right. Ricardo Montalban, you know. That, you know, tells the other person that, you know, this is my safe word. You need to stop what you're doing. And I really mean it.
Right. Know? And that's the whole purpose of safe words, because just saying no, I mean, sometimes saying no is a part of the play.
Right.
So that's why you want to have a word that you would not normally say.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, in role play, I mean, certainly is a great way to start, I think, you know, whether it's, you know, naughty schoolgirl teacher or, you know, fireman and, you know, other firemen. And
firemen on firemen.
Right, exactly. Firemen. Right. So, you know, priest altar boy.
Right. And I mean, what I see pretty consistently is, and no one likes to talk about this, but rape fantasies, you know, even mild sort of rape play, you know, I see pretty consistently in clients who talk about fantasies and what turns them on.
Right. And obviously all consensual with the safe word.
Yes.
And, you know, talked about first. What do you want to do? This is my thing. This is my fantasy, you know.
Right.
And,
so all you frat boys out there, we're not telling you.
Right. And definitely not something you're doing on a first date.
No.
Okay. So
lots of negotiation, lots of communication that involves developing the safe word, developing a dialogue about being very specific about what does turn you on so you can convey that to your partner.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and there are actually there's a couple good books out there too. If you just go on Amazon, you can find some starter guides to S&M. I think
I'm going to write one actually. S&M, keeping it classy.
Keeping it classy, yo. So, but yeah, I think that's great. And then also just the one other quick little thing about if you're using any implements or things like that, like tying hands up or down, instead of just using, hey, this is some rope I found in my basement, I would really suggest using something that ties and unties easily, or even Velcros. And there are plenty of little fun strap sets, like even if you go to Adam and Eve, they have them that are designed specifically for easy off and on, but you can use it for the fantasy play.
Perfect. The other thing is, don't throw away your old underwear or old nylons. You know, they always come in handy. It's like, I'm going to rip those off you, bitch.
That's right. That's a nice tearaway effect.
Exactly. You were going to throw them away anyway. So
there you go. Well, I have another question, and this is from Ant, and Ant is feeling a little insecure. So he says, my girlfriend and I have a great relationship, fulfilling sex life, all that. But something has always sort of gotten to me, though. On a personal level, I'm a little insecure about it. She'll let me finger her, but she's never really that excited about it, which is fine. Not everybody likes everything. You know, she's let me do it when she's completely relaxed or after some drinks, and it's okay. But even then, especially then, she loves it. But otherwise, she doesn't. Usually without a drink, though, or without a massage or something, she's less than excited about vaginal fingering. Oral sex is great no matter what. She moans and twists in bed when I go down on her and literally begs for sex in these moments. But insert a finger and things slow down. A while back, during one of our many open conversations about sex, she mentioned that she has squirted once or twice in the past. I'm with her for almost... Stop.
Oh, here we are again.
It's embedded. I didn't do this on purpose, I swear. Oh, my God. God, I cannot enunciate today. What is my problem? Okay, I digress. Okay, anyway, so Ant says...
Oh,
There's a little more. I'm with her for almost a year, and I still have never seen it happen, it being the squirting. She has dated a long line of jerks before me, and she has had many, many times that told me that I'm the big one. I'm the catch that's above all others.
The best jerk of all.
Oh, let's hope not. So here's my issue that I'm insecure about. If some loser can make my girl squirt, what am I doing wrong that I can't? I try fingering. She doesn't like it so much. I have a hard time thinking I'm bad at it. I go gently. I read her reactions. I start slow. I kiss and lick her vagina as I'm doing it. Is it because she's turned off? You know, because of a past history with some jerk? What's the issue? Is my reaction understandable? And yes, should I be concerned if some loser can do it? Should I too? Or should I just quit being a baby, stop looking for physical... then this is parenthetical, liquid proof, and take it for what it's worth when my girl says I'm the best sex she's ever had.
Okay, so my thing is, you know, all these questions, I tried, she said, it seems like she's been turned, have you asked her?
I know. He says they have open communication.
I know, but it doesn't say, you know, and you're not saying that it's like you asked her specifically. You're saying that you're not sure why. Is it because she's turned off by saying, you've got to ask her. That would be a really great, you know, starting point is to say, honey, what's up? You know, what about, you know, being fingered turns you off? Right. And maybe she'll tell you.
Right. Well, and the thing is, maybe he thinks she's holding back. Maybe he thinks she's not telling him the truth.
Well, that could be it. Okay.
But it doesn't really matter, right? Because whatever she's saying is what it is. And so I tend to lean more towards the second portion of this question with him saying, you know, quit being a baby and quit looking for the proof. Because the whole thing is that when it comes to orgasms, when it comes to orgasmic and arousal patterns in people, if you're just looking for what you think is a sign of a specific behavior that you're doing something right, that's totally without context. You don't know how she feels about you. You don't know how she feels about what you're doing to her. All you're looking for is some like arbitrary proof that you're doing the right thing. And I just think that's a really flawed way to look at it.
Right. The other thing is, you know, Ant is talking about having, you know, he does things to her, you know, oral or whatever. She's writhing and twisting and begging for sex. It's so what more proof do you want? She's into you, you know, and maybe the unspoken thing here is that she doesn't like to be fingered. So stop fingering her.
Right. You know? I mean, exactly. I mean, if Ant here, personally, if you get off from fingering her, then, you know, maybe you mix that in every now and then and just don't have any expectations with it, because that's the whole point. You know, you should be able to do things without expecting a specific outcome. you know? And I'm sorry, the whole, like, all these jerks of the past, maybe she, you know, whether she was squirting or not, but even if that is accurate, that she's got this history of squirting with these guys that you're referring to as jerks, that it has to do with a lot of other things. It could have to do with her anatomy even changing, or her hormones shifting, or different connotations.
I also have to kind of question it, Aunt. You know, it's like she's in that line of jerks a little bit too, because I don't think I've ever said to any sexual partner, you know, you give a good blowjob, but oh my God, my last three boyfriends. You know what I mean? It's like, who says that? Who says that? You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, you're good, but I used to squirt for my last boyfriends. They were jerks. But, you know, I mean, it's like, how did that come up in conversation?
Right.
You know,
well, I'm hoping it wasn't with that connotation. I'm hoping maybe it was just like, you know, they're having that open conversation and she's like, well, yeah, I have in the past, you know. Previously,
with everyone, and, apparently,
but you,
except you, you know, and like you know.
But that's the thing. I think if he stops worrying about it, and then if she eventually does it, you know, at some point, it'll be just like a little extra bonus. It's right. Just so not that big of a deal, because it sounds like they have a really fulfilling, healthy relationship. Otherwise, as far as what they're talking about, what they're doing, so relax, Aunt.
Exactly. And apparently he didn't hear the last podcast that we talked about squirting. I said the key to squirting, Aunt, is anal sex and donuts. So try that and let me know how it works out.
I'm sure Aunt report back. And we will be right back after a quick 30-second break from our sponsor, Adam and Eve.
It's Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Hey there, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and get 50% off just about any item. That's 50% off adult toys, lubes, movies, or almost anything you desire. Plus, get a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it here. And to top it all off, free shipping. And no, we're not teasing. Just type Dr. Cat for the offer code upon checkout. That's offer code DRKAT at adamandeve.com.
Okay. Our next question is from Laura, who wants to know what goes where. Laura asks, me and my boyfriend have been trying to have sex for a while. We're both big people. I am 360 pounds and he is 300 pounds. He also has a small penis. We're both virgins too. We don't really know what to do or where to put things. It sometimes feels like he's in the right place, but it hurts, and it just feels like he's poking at me and not getting where he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you think you could do? We're willing to do just about anything. Thank you. Well, you know, there's this old saying, right? If you can't find the hole, roll around in flour and aim for the wet spot.
That's awesome.
Right? So Laura, you know... not to put, you know, I guess I could be out of a job or whatever. Cat could be out of a job. But, you know, there is this amazing thing called the internet. Al Gore invented it, actually. On that internet is something that I invented. It's called Google. And it is amazing how much information is out there and pictures, you know, where you can sort of learn about what goes where. There are books. There are magazines. And I say, explore, you know, as a virgin, I got to tell you, sex is fun. Mm-hmm. And make it fun and find out the position that works for you. You know, whether you're on your knees, whether you're on the end of a couch and he's taking you from behind, whether you're, you know, your legs are in the air and he's trying to plow you from in between. Maybe he needs to use a strap on to try to get it right at first, you know, if his penis is so small. But you know what? The best thing, this is the best homework that anyone can give you, is just have fun and go at it.
Yeah, it's an adventure. And especially for, you know, there's the virgin issue here, and there's also the issue that they're large people. And, you know, everyone's got the same equipment, but, you know, you've got to deal with some other variables. What sounds like, you know, you've just got to learn what each other's bodies do and how things, you know, how to access things, right? In the most pleasurable way possible. Number one, I say the both of you make sure that you're masturbating. And make sure that you're getting off that way, because then you know your equipment works on your own, and then you can show one another what works. And then, God, there's so many porn titles out there, and there are some porn titles with some big people in them.
There you go.
And I say go, you know, whether it's a video stream or whether it's, you know, a title from Adam and Eve, go on there, look for you know, either the Chubby Chasers or a lot of the like Big Love. There's also a great book out there called Big Love, by the way, about this specific topic. And just see what positions they're doing. And even if you have to play it and the two of you mimic it as it's playing, I think that's a really good option
to start. Yeah. The other thing is, you know, in this situation, and there may be a little give and take, you know, because there are certain challenges. You know, you're both larger people, and you say that he has a small penis, of course, you know, compared to what, Miss Virgin? Okay.
Right.
Right. It's like, you know, it's smaller than my forearm. I don't understand why, you know. but, you know, there may be some give and take, and you may find that, you know, you might play around and something might be good for him and not so good for you. And you kind of give in, and then he's going to have to give in and say, oh, this is good for you, but not for him. So, you know, there's going to be a little give and take there as well.
Yeah. I think, again, release the expectations, folks. Get rid of the expectations and just experience. And if you're being present in the moment and focusing on the fun, great stuff happens. So, yeah.
And think of it, you know, not that I'm, you know, sizist or whatever, you know, weightist, but sex is also kind of exercise. So
it's
have
great.
At it. Have at it.
Good. It's good for everyone's exercise regime.
Exactly.
Great. And our next question comes from Jim. And Jim says, I would like to know if any disease can be transferred from one partner to another through oral sex. If so, then which diseases can be transferred? And can it be transferred the same regardless which partner is giving or receiving?
Well, Jim, you know, if you think of, you know, a moist, wet orifice, dark and constantly wet, whether that be an ass, a vagina, or a mouth, it is the perfect breeding ground for, you know, disease.
Bacteria.
Yeah, bacteria, exactly. Yep. So the short answer is yes.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It's like, you could probably go to the CDC website and they'll give you a huge list of anything that's communicable. But, you know, off the bat, herpes.
Yes.
Chlamydia.
Yes,
right?
Gonorrhea.
Yeah.
And they're saying even now with some of the research, which I think that there's probably needs to be, there's jury that's still out a little bit, but even HPV, which is the genital warts, that they've seen some men have issues with that, with mouth and esophageal cancers from women.
Wow.
So, and from what I understand, I'm sure there's probably an anal component to that too, from guy to guy. So yes, the short answer is yes. So you sex should be fun, like we just said, but it's no fun if you've got to take yourself to the clinic and either, you know, take take some antibiotics, which is the best case scenario, or even worse, if it's herpes or HPV, those are viruses that once you have them, they're always with you.
The gift that keeps on giving. So here's my thing, you know, when I was single and free and, you know, doing whatever, the best kind of foreplay starts with a shower.
Yeah, right.
Seriously, because it's then you kind of know, you're like, you know, with a clean slate, as it were.
You start from
like,
zero.
You know what? Because who knows where they were beforehand, what they were doing, whatever. At least then you know that, you know, on the surface, everything is kind of okay. And then the other thing is, if, you know, certainly as a gay man, and, you know, you kind of play around a little bit. Give that thing a few squeezes, you know.
Right. There's other play to behold in addition to just, you know, going straight to the world.
Squeeze it and see if anything's coming out.
Oh, you're being literal. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, give it a few squeezes. Honey, it's like, okay, what's, you know, you just want to kind of see. It's like before you kind of go whole hog, as it were. It's like,
that's right. Little test drive.
Exactly. You know, just kind of see, right. See if anything's hidden in there. So.
Yeah. And let's not forget the herpes and HPV is skin to skin. It doesn't even require insertion per se, right? Yep. So again, either, you know, if you're going to be out and about with multiple people, get friendly with the flavored condoms or worst case scenario, the plastic wrap, you know, just create some kind of barrier just so that you get full protection. You don't have to worry at all.
Right.
But yeah, there are definitely things you could do because, you know, sooner or later, you know, and his other part of the question was, you know, is it the same regarding, you know, which partner is giving or receiving? And actually, it's totally transmittable either way, back or forth. So you've got to think of the both of you.
is Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.
Gay take, straight take. It's the featured toy of the week.
Okay, and we have our gay take, straight take toy of the week.
Yay!
Yay!
I think we need to come up with like a little jingle or a little noise for this, you know, in the future.
We don't do it, but the you haven't heard the new version, apparently. The producers have a new one.
Oh, okay. There you go.
They've added in. No, they felt the same way. They're like, oh, I need to add something in here. And it's really cute. It's very game show-like.
Oh, we love that.
We do.
Perfect.
We like it. But you're right. You know, when it's just you and I recording, it's like, I'm waiting for the big intro.
Okay. I'm going to hear it in my head now. Okay.
Yes, there you go. So
what do we got?
It is the we're on the cutting edge of media here. I mean, the whole Charlie Sheen breakup thing, Brie Olsen having dumped his ass very recently.
Wah-wah.
It's Brie Olsen's finger banger.
Oh, there you go. Oh, a new meaning to giving someone the finger.
That's right. It's giving Charlie Sheen the great big old finger and getting yourself off at the same time.
I guess he's not so winning anymore.
No, not so winning. And he's down a girlfriend. So God forbid, what's he only going to do with one? So
what's this like?
So this is a finger vibe, which I am a huge proponent of. One of my favorite vibrators forever, ever, ever was a finger vibrator. And
mean it's in the shape of a finger or does it attach to your finger?
It attaches to your finger.
Oh.
So it's a cute little like nubbity nub and there's a vibrator intact within it. So there's no remotes. There's no, you know, any extraneous thing going on with it. And
it's
basically... It is old, yeah, exactly. And it becomes a part of your finger. Ooh. And what I like about it is that you can really zero in with it. You don't have to even do direct clitoral stimulation. You can just do around it or, you know, with men. I think it's also a great option for men with a little glands or perineal or scrotal play or even
the taint. Yeah.
That's right, on the taint, little taint action. But they're super teeny tiny, and most people don't even know what they are. And so super easy for nightstand, travel, all that good stuff.
Ooh, perfect.
Yeah.
Honey, what are you reaching for, your lipstick? Oh, no.
Stuck in traffic? Oh, wait, yeah, I don't
know. Oh, there you go. Oh, my God.
I did that once, actually, just to see if I could do it. And granted, I'm not telling everyone out there to go out and get in accidents. I am not. But it was an interesting experience.
I bet it was.
Well,
for all you 14-year-olds out there listening, good night.
No. There are no 14-year-olds listening to the show. You're not allowed. Go to bed. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. And you want to tell everybody what they need to do when they have questions, Ross?
I do, yeah. If you have questions, we have the answers. Again, you can email us at sexchat@drcat.com. And we would love to hear from you. We want to know, thumbs up, thumbs down, in between. What do you think about us? Also, are we helping you? Mm-hmm. Are we hurting you? Hopefully we're not hurting you. And do you have any advice that, you know, or see it from an angle that maybe we're not seeing? So we'd like to hear what you think about some of the stuff we're talking about here.
Absolutely. So be sure to chime in with that. And also don't forget, I've got a new video podcast on iTunes called Daily Sex Tips from Hawaii. And they are little 1 to 3 minute snippets, little sex tips of the day. So check that out too. And you can always find out more about both Ross and myself at www.drcat.com for more info.
That's it. Bye, Dr. Cat.
Bye, Ross. We'll see ya.
You will.
Sex Chat with Dr. Cat.